Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us today. And today, not this hour, but today's going to be a big day for IU basketball, maybe getting some news and hearing from some players, because all 11 IU players on scholarship will speak at some point later this afternoon with the media, as it's the first of 2 days. They've kind of split it into back-to-back days, IU Media Day, for the upcoming 2019-2020 season. This is the time where media gets to do their photo shoots. You get to ask all the players some questions. Archie Miller, I believe, is scheduled to take the podium on Wednesday. But later today, throughout the day, you'll start seeing on social media some clips of players, some quotes from players leak out as things that are being discussed, things that are being asked at Media Day. So it's that time of year, Media Day, and then Hoosier Hysteria, and then exhibition games, and then, of course, the season will be here before you know it. It is all moving very quickly. So I'm sure tomorrow we will have a full breakdown of who said what from Media Day, and replay of some of the audio for you from some of the key returning IU players, maybe some Trace Jackson Davis as well. But a big day for the IU team with Media Day, or at least the first half of Media Day, taking place later today, later this afternoon in Bloomington. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at a number of things. IU basketball recruiting, there's a couple things to cover there. Romeo Langford, a couple notes on him up at Boston. IU football, Michael Penix, what is his status? And how about Kansas? I don't know if we'll get to it in the first segment, but Kansas charged with lack of institutional control and more, including some charges against head coach Bill Self. This is going to be extremely interesting to follow, a high major program, a blue blood program, getting called out by the NCAA. So it's going to be interesting. I know a lot of programs on edge, a lot of people holding their breath, glad it's not maybe their team, but Kansas has received some pretty serious stuff from the NCAA. We'll talk about that today as well. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with me. Our chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. We're going to talk some about Archie Miller with Greg Doyle, a couple things to chat about regarding him. We're going to talk also about the Kansas situation with Greg and get his opinion on that. And Greg was at IU football over the weekend. We'll talk about the IU quarterback spot, the IU quarterback situation, as the Hoosiers head to a game coming up this Saturday with Michigan State. Later in the show, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us. We'll hit some of the recruiting headlines of the day. Andre Curbelo, one of the players we're going to talk about. A couple other recruiting things as well. Then we'll talk some IU football with the Hoosiers coming off their win. We'll get Mike's thoughts as well on Penix as he returns Saturday. How does the team move on from an offensive line standpoint without Coy Krunk, who Coach Allen confirmed yesterday is now out for the season, as many of us expected, and get ready for Michigan State with Mike as well coming up. That's the guest lineup today, presented by Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Before we get any further into our headline segment today, I do want to take just a moment to welcome a handful of people to the show
as far as sponsors. Some of them you've probably heard here over the last couple weeks. We've rolled out a number of new sponsors, and we've got a couple new ones still forthcoming. But I want to thank and welcome Sardano's Pizza Parlor from Sellersburg. They've been bringing you the Athlete of the Week each week. And, of course, this week, Ben Landers of Silver Creek, the winner. The winner of that award gets a free pizza. They get a promotional announcement that runs all week long on the Big X during our commercial breaks. And really a lot of publicity, to be quite honest with you, for a high school award. And we appreciate Sardano's in Sellersburg making that possible. Also, Major League Shirt Company in New Albany, home of the $4 T-shirt. You hear them Wednesdays during Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. That segment talking local sports and high school sports and local headlines. And we appreciate them coming on to sponsor that segment and be part of our broadcast as well. And happy today to tell you that we have a presenting sponsor of the show, and I feel like this is a great fit for our program, a great fit for some things we want to do and some things they want to accomplish as well. But CC Power Sports, with the Hoosier Report, now the presenting sponsor of our program, coming in the next week or so, you'll begin to hear CC recognized coming in and out of the commercial breaks is as our title sponsor, our presenting sponsor. And, of course, we look forward to some additional exciting announcements surrounding them coming on as the title sponsor of the program. So happy to tell you, it's now CC Power Sports presents the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. And I want to invite you as well. We don't talk a lot about sponsors on the program, but sponsors is how we keep local coverage going, whether it's the Hoosier Report, talking IU, talking some high school and local stuff, whether it's high school broadcast of our football on Friday night, basketball, of course, is forthcoming. Even all the IU games we bring to you, all the local coverage, our sponsors is how we continue this and move things forward here on this show and here on the Big X Sports Radio. So if you've got a business in Southern Indiana, in Kentuckiana, that you think would do well by reaching fans of IU and fans of high school and local sports, this is the show. We are the station for you. If you think you've got a business that would just like to associate with something good, yeah, you want to get some publicity for your business, but you'd like to tie it to something in high school sports or in local sports or with Indiana, please give us a call. We'd love to talk with you and love to get you on the program. We've got more forthcoming, but I wanted to give those three a shout-out today and welcome them to the program as well. We'll be telling you some additional sponsors coming up. But some big news for us, CC Power Sports, now the title sponsor of our program. Let's continue on with some Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's with three area locations, a number of things to get to in our headline segment today. And I'll tell you, let's start with Romeo Langford. He's been cleared to play for, quote, about a month, end quote, is what Brad Stevens had to say recently to some Boston media. That kind of goes hand in hand with the report maybe a week or 2 weeks ago that Romeo had been cleared for a few weeks. Obviously, that's good news heading into the NBA preseason, to the NBA early part of the year, that's forthcoming very quickly. We talk about the college season being here. NBA is going to be here, obviously, very soon as well with some of the preseason games. I think it's four or five preseason games for the Celtics. So with Romeo healthy for that, you've got to hope, you've got to think that they're going to give him some opportunity in meaningless games, especially coming back from an injury, to get back in shape, to see what he can do, to test out the shot, the hand, and those sorts of things. So that's exciting, and we'll see forthcoming as far as how that equals playing time, at least in some of the preseason games. Also, Tom Westerholm of Mass Live, who's been with us on this program a number of times, and I look forward to having him and others from Boston on during the season once things get rolling for Romeo in Boston. But he had a really deep breakdown, and for somebody that's not a Boston fan that hasn't followed him closely, you know, some of it you just don't fully understand. But he's talking about, you know, players, even with all the changes that have already happened for Boston, players on the roster now that, whether it's this year, next year, in the foreseeable future, could be traded, could become free agents. So they were talking about Jaylen Brown, and does he stick with Boston long-term, and could he be somebody that the franchise wants to move eventually? So in relation to that, he wrote a little paragraph about Romeo Langford. I'm going to read it to you word for word. It says, quote, "Nobody is really thinking about this because we didn't see him play at Summer League, but while Romeo Langford is a different player, He's not as good a shooter or as athletic, talking about Jaylen Brown, but he's a much better ball handler, finisher, and distributor. He does make some sense as a Brown replacement. Again, that's just talking if Jaylen Brown were to depart, if he were to become a free agent, if the franchise were to move him. So, obviously, Romeo's name being mentioned in a number of different roles that he could potentially find himself in. And it seems like Boston, even though there have been a lot of movement in the offseason, not just with their draft class, but with some of their key players leaving and new key players coming in, that there still could be more movement forthcoming, whether it's this season or after this season or next season, which could be interesting for Romeo Langford and keep his rookie season so very important as how he performs and how his shot returns, we hope, so he can be ready to maybe fill a bigger void, a bigger role, if there are some additional movements with the Celtics lineup. Couple other headlines to get to here in this first segment. Andre Curbelo of New York, of Long Island, he tweeted out a pretty cool graphic of himself yesterday that has him and his final schools. He's wearing a Puerto Rico jersey. Of course, he's a Puerto Rican descent, and he's got Indiana, he's got Miami of Florida, Illinois, Oregon, and St. John's in his final five. No timeline as far as when he's going to decide and pare down that five or make a decision from that five, but two Big Ten schools, Indiana and Illinois, and of course Indiana in the final five. There have been a lot of IU mentions with him. The coaches have been up a few times. We'll see if he gets a visit set to Indiana maybe sometime this fall. But Indiana clearly looking at a point guard situation, whether it be 2020, whether it be 2021 with Christian Lander, if he were to come into the fold, or maybe even both situations. Of course, Robert Phinisee will be, hard to believe, but an upperclassman after this season. He would be in his junior year if Curbelo or another 2020 point guard entered the program. But movement continuing. Positive movement continuing with Andre Curbelo, who puts IU in his final five. Also, speaking of media day, I mentioned today at Indiana is the first half of media day where we'll hear from players beginning at 2:30 this afternoon. Coming up, of course, Big Ten media day, Wednesday, October 2nd. So just before Hoosier Hysteria up in Rosemont at the Hilton, always in Rosemont, Illinois, where Big Ten Basketball Media Day takes place. Of course, Coach Archie Miller will be there. All the head coaches will be there, but also Deron Davis will be there, Devontae Green, those two seniors announced as Big Ten Media Day participants as far as the players go. Normally you see two players, occasionally three players. Four teams appear at Media Day, but IU going with two seniors and Davis and Green coming up. That's another fun deal. It's not just Indiana, but you get to learn a lot about the Big Ten. Going to be interesting to hear what some of the coaches, not just Archie Miller, but some of the coaches in the Big Ten Conference have to say about some things going on this year in the whole world of college basketball, whether it's the recruiting stuff or now the Kansas stuff. Going to be interesting time for sure for the conference and just for the sport as a whole to hear from those head coaches up close and personal. Also, Tom Allen said yesterday that starting quarterback Michael Penix going to throw the ball some in practice this week, going to do some light workouts this week. His availability for Michigan State, it still seems, will be a game-time decision for IU football on Saturday. So I think it makes a lot of difference if he's in there. I know he's not proven. I know he's still a newcomer fairly, pretty much to the starting position. I know that he may have a little rust with being out for a few weeks, but I would like to see him back in some of these Big Ten games, in some of these bigger games on IU's schedule, even if it ends in a loss, just to get the experience, because I think he's the kind of guy that can lead Indiana to a win over a top 25 team, if and when that happens for the program. Big news yesterday on the college basketball landscape. NCAA enforcement staff have officially charged, after lots of rumors, the University of Kansas with lack of institutional control, and Coach Bill Self, the head coach, with some responsibility violations as well. Going to go into detail a little bit more. We'll talk with Greg Doyle about this some as well, but this is very interesting to see how this unfolds. Kansas, obviously, a blue blood of college basketball. There were some rumors leading up to this. Last year there were, one player had to sit out for Kansas that had to be cleared, but of course now that player also mentioned in this notice of allegations from the NCAA. So interesting times. Everybody kind of wondered after Louisville was hit with problems, would anything else come of it? You know, there's been some Arizona stuff. There have been some other minor things, but what program would get serious stuff? When would the NCAA move on some of the stuff that they got from that federal investigation? And obviously, this is the next big step. The University of Kansas hit with lack of institutional control. That's one of the worst violations a school can receive. And, of course, even personally, to Bill Self, the head coach, with some violations of his own as well. We'll head to a commercial break. Those are the Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's with three area locations here in Clark and Floyd counties. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk Archie Miller. We'll talk IU football, the quarterback situation, and Kansas as well with him coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, presented by Coffee Crossing here on this Tuesday edition of the program. And Greg, I know Indiana fans, college basketball fans, as excited as everyone is about the upcoming season, also just as curious about all the stuff that came out officially yesterday about Kansas and its basketball program being charged with lack of institutional control. There were also some responsibility violations personally handed to Bill Self and his actions. And then, of course, I think football was included in some ways as well in the issue. Interesting times at Kansas, and interesting to see as this NCAA investigation, or I should say the findings from the federal investigation, move into the next phase. It looks like Kansas is going to be front and center in all this.
Yeah, and at Kansas, I saw Bill Self's statement this morning. He's shocked. All capital letters, shocked at these allegations and yada, yada, yada. And I'm not saying he's guilty, not like I know, but I do know the sport's dirty. And so, you know, when somebody, it's one of those deals that when finally the shoe starts to drop on somebody, there's no benefit of the doubt here. I guess that's my point. There's no benefit of the doubt. Like, it'd be really nice right now if somebody in college basketball could have the benefit of the doubt. But, and there might be a handful of coaches, just a handful, that I would say, you know what, I completely believe in you. But one of those coaches is coach of the Celtics right now.
Yeah, good point, good point. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Do you think that, and I know this is just opinion, there's no way we know, but, you know, Louisville was the first school that was really implicated from the federal investigation, and that obviously wreaked havoc on that program. Although, for now, unless there's more issues, more violations officially coming from the NCAA now that the investigation, I guess, is closed. You know, things seem to be okay under Chris Mack. We've talked about him, the leadership, the coach that he could be. But do you think this will be like a school-to-school thing? Do you think once Kansas and this is all unfolds there that the NCAA will move on to the next perpetrator that was maybe discovered in this federal investigation, the wiretaps, et cetera?
That's certainly the way it sounds from everybody. Reporters that are involved with this, and you know, following it very closely. They're saying that there's more of these coming. That the NCAA is surely going after the ones they think they can get easiest. So if I'm a Kansas fan, I'm terrified that they came after us first, just about, because that implies that the NCAA wants to build some momentum. They damn sure don't want to start their, you know, if you want to call this a witch hunt, whatever you want to call it, they're not going to start it with a loss. They're going to start with what they think is a win. It's kind of like one of those unspoken secrets about prosecutors, federal prosecutors, is they don't bring charges unless they know they've got you. They don't, because they want their conviction rate, and they just can't afford to waste, you know, the government's money chasing cases they're going to be found not guilty. So there's a million people breaking the law. Let's go get somebody that we know we can win. And I'm not saying that to say, Kansas, you're guilty, you're done. I'm just saying that if I'm a Kansas fan, I'm scared to death because that's how the NCAA thinks. But certainly in a time like this, they've got a lot of choices, a lot of schools they can go after. If they went after Kansas this soon, that tells me they think they've got Kansas wrapped up.
Interesting. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented each Tuesday by Coffee Crossing. I want to jump around a little bit with you today. Let's catch up on some football. Start with IU first. Michael Penix did not start on Saturday. Coach Allen saying yesterday that it likely will be a game-time decision again this week as the stakes get a little higher and a little more challenging for Indiana. They are on the road, number one, and number two, they're taking on number 25-ranked Michigan State. But the quarterback spot at Indiana continues to be interesting, to say the least. Penix, there was excitement about him coming into the season with his playmaking ability, and, yeah, it may have taken him a handful of games or half a season, who knows, to really get settled in that position. But it appeared that was going to be the path Indiana was going to take now and in the future to see if he can take the program to new heights. Obviously, gets a little banged up earlier in the season, has missed a couple key games. The Ohio State game didn't come back against Connecticut, still up in the air for Michigan State. The quarterback spot at Indiana is sure something to follow right now, week in and week out.
It's fascinating because they also lost their left tackle, and Penix is mobile and all that, and Ramsey's not immobile, he's just not Penix. Although Penix is not a whole lot more mobile than Ramsey, let's be honest. Penix is, he just has a much stronger arm. That's the biggest difference. But, yeah, it's fascinating because Tom Allen is at the point now where he's got a 3-1 team, and he's got to be, on the one hand, you're thinking about the future and what's best for this program is to have Michael Penix, you know, three great years with Penix. And you get three great years with Penix by having his first year be getting it over with, and that's this year. On the other hand, if Allen's looking at his team go, well, we're 3-1, and, you know, we haven't been to a bowl game in a while, and, you know, 6-6 is out there, and maybe Ramsey gives us the best chance against Michigan State with a new left tackle. So you wonder, clearly Allen was making a move. But yeah, the present, Penix was great, but also the future in Penix. And I wonder if his calculus has changed at all now that 3-1 and Ramsey looked as good as he looked. Because he said it'll be a game-time decision Saturday, and that's in part because he wants to keep it a mystery. He thinks by Wednesday or Thursday they'll know if Penix can go. And I didn't see anybody asking this question, is if Penix is full go, is it still a game-time decision? And I don't mean are you going to announce earlier, but it just means does it come down to Penix's health, or could it be more than Penix's health that we're looking at here?
Yeah, interesting. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, I guess. Greg, when is Indiana football, and again, this is a hypothetical question, obviously, but when is Indiana football going to host a really good Ohio State team or go on the road and take, you know, a top 25 team, barely in the top 25, Michigan State? When is Indiana going to kind of get a signature win that, you know, boosts them as a program, that gives them confidence for the rest of the season, that almost a type of win you can say, yep, this team, they're going to get bowl eligible. And they still win or lose this weekend, no matter what happened with Ohio State a few weeks ago. I think still a great chance they get the 6 wins. But Indiana football and Indiana fans, maybe more importantly, need a win, need a convincing win, need a emotional win, need a big win. I don't even know what the right descriptor is there, but Indiana football needs something like that. And I guess even though it's a road game, even though Michigan State not setting the world on fire, they are in the top 25. They are a solid team in the Big Ten Conference. Even a win like that would be very meaningful to this program.
Well, a win like that, Michigan State is clearly not what you're talking about when you talk about Ohio State and whatnot, but they are top 25, and if IU wins this game, and they can, I don't care who the quarterback is, they you can win this game. You can do it, even on the road. You can do this. But now you're 4-1, and 4-1 with a win over Michigan State on the road. You know, this, I think this is almost a not must win, but this is the kind of game where an entire season can hinge. If you lose this game, you're 3-2, and it kind of looks like the same old IU. You know, we're going to beat the Ball States of the world, and we're going to beat Rutgers's. We're not going to beat anybody else. We're going to try and get 6 wins and see what happens if you lose. If you win, you're 4-1. Now what's on the table is a lot more than that. No, it's not the playoff, National College playoff, but it is, can we get to 8? Can we get to 9? Because if you can beat Michigan State, you can beat almost anybody.
Yeah, good point. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I want to jump back to basketball. When I saw this story, and there are so many stories and rankings and projections and people's thoughts, especially this time of year with college basketball just around the corner, when I saw this one, I thought of you because of all the conversations and all the ways that we've talked about, broken down Archie Miller, his recruiting, his press conferences, etc. The Athletic had some of their writers rank coaches that if a current school, some of the big dogs in college basketball, if they lost their college coach, who would be somebody you would want for the next 10 years to be your coach? They ranked 25 guys. On that list, some interesting names from the Big Ten Conference, like Tom Izzo, no surprise. Matt Painter, I don't think that's any surprise either that he was on the list of 25 most wanted head coaches for the future. Chris Holtman, you could see that, doing good things at Ohio State, has a great background to him. Juwan Howard was on the list. I don't know that maybe a few years from now he won't be on there, but right now he's not coached a college basketball game. I thought that was interesting. But one notable name, at least for teams that we talk about and teams that we cover, missing Archie Miller of Indiana. Does that surprise you at all? He wouldn't be on any kind of most wanted list that went 25 deep? Or do you think that coming to Indiana, maybe he's lost a little of his oomph that he had at Dayton after some NCAA tournament appearances after missing the tournament a couple years?
I got a lot to say about that, but before we do, I want to, A, congratulate myself for not cutting you off, because I know I've been scolded before. I wanted to answer your last question. I do think IU, I think next year's the year. I do believe next year's the year we're going to see IU breakthrough.
No, and when you say next year, you mean like this coming year or the following year?
I mean in football. I think in the 2020 football season, and I say that sadly not knowing what they have on the offensive line. If they're going to lose five starters, I take it back. But I do think he's recruited so well. He's got such really good young skill that I do think next year's the year where it's fair to say next year's the year IU football can have a breakthrough win. If people want to hear this year's the year, you know, Michigan State might be, you know, if that's the breakthrough you have in mind, they can win that game. Having said all that, let's move on to basketball. Archie Miller, he's a victim right now of timing and other stuff. I mean, but timing. Had the Athletic, you know, existed 3 years ago, had this list come out 3 years ago when Archie was in either his first year at IU or his last year at Dayton, he's in the top five on that list, top 10 probably. I mean, he was a rising star. So it's all about timing. And now he's here, and they've had 3 years or 2 years, and they've done what they've done, which isn't a whole lot, and now he's not on the list at all. So I completely understand he's not on the list. It doesn't mean IU hired the wrong guy. It just means that right now the optics are what they are. The fact that Juwan Howard is on that list tells you that it's – I mean, there's no way to justify that.
Yeah, and
Howard might be great. I mean, he might be great, but there's just no way to justify putting Juwan Howard on that list right now. So it's all about timing and optics and momentum, and Arch doesn't really have it right now. So actually, frankly, the surprise would have been if he'd been on the list.
Yeah.
Just based on what he's doing at IU, you can't put him on that list. You've got 25 names and 350 schools to choose from.
Yep. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Want to hop to Romeo Langford here before we let you go. A couple comments from Brad Stevens over the last couple weeks, including I think one yesterday that Romeo has basically been healthy and ready to go for about a month now. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody that's followed him closely. Now the course is, the case is, what happens in preseason games? Does he get ample minutes to get back in shape, to see what he can do shooting-wise, to find out maybe early on what his role could be on this changing Boston team that experienced a lot of changes over the summer? And reading more about the Celtics, and you probably, obviously because you follow the Pacers as close as you do, might just by virtue of that know more about the Celtics and be a little bit more well-versed on them. But they seem to be a team that not only has underwent a lot of changes, but still could have more changes forthcoming, whether it be this year or next year. Now that Romeo's healthy, I know we've talked about, don't always expect a lot of playing time for him, especially early in the year. But in the preseason, and maybe just talking about rookies in general for a guy that doesn't like me, that doesn't watch a lot of NBA basketball or doesn't watch it definitely a lot of preseason NBA basketball, do rookies get lots of minutes, often draft picks, lottery picks in preseason games, even if maybe in the regular season they'll start off with hardly any?
They do when they're not coming off thumb surgery, right? That thumb surgery is what's been the monkey wrench in everything. It took him off the summer schedule, and who knows how much run he'll get in the preseason. because they're trying to get his legs under him and confidence and all that. But yes, normal, like, you're going to see a lot of Carson Edwards in the preseason. You'll see a lot of him because it's the NBA is not nearly as drastic as the NFL, but they don't want their guys getting hurt, and they know their guys have a grind ahead of them, and they're not going to give 35 minutes to Kemba Walker ever in the preseason. So you're going to see it is the time for guys like Romeo to establish themselves and see what they got and show what they got. But that thumb surgery, right? It just completely it changes the whole equation, and we'll just have to see. I suspect what will happen is they will ramp him up, and the first game he'll get 12 minutes, second game he'll get 18 or 20, and then if they play 3 or 4 or 5, he'll get close to 30 in the last couple 3 or 4. Not because he's one of the 5 best players on the team, although he might be, but just because you don't play your known starters, and right now Romeo's not a known starter.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg Doyle. Indianapolis star. Greg, thanks for running the gamut with me today. Good stuff. Always look forward to it on Tuesday, and we'll catch up with you again next week. Thanks to Coffee Crossing.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Coffee Crossing, and thank you, Greg, for not interrupting Matt and I have to deal with all the Twitter anger.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you. Interrupt me anytime. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis star, with us Tuesdays. And again, always fun to have him with us. Thanks to the good people at Coffee Crossing who make the segment with Greg possible for you each week. All right, interesting stuff for IU football this weekend as they get ready to go to Michigan State for a top 25 matchup. Will be interesting to see what happens with Penix. A lot of stuff there. We're going to talk more about that with Mike Pegram in the next segment. We're also going to cover some recruiting stuff as well with Mike coming up, including the player that was on campus over the weekend from Illinois, and also other players like Andre Curbelo that Indiana seems to be pretty active with here in the 2020 class. Of course, not a lot of discussion about Curbelo even over the summer, maybe is when his name was first mentioned, but it's not been terribly active until the last few months. And so an interesting name that Indiana's involved with. We'll talk some about him with Mike coming up a little bit later in the program. I want to talk Christian Lander as well because his recruiting just continues to grow and grow. UCLA was in to see him down in Evansville last week, as have a number of other schools, both local Midwestern-type schools and those from out of the area. I really wonder, will we see? I know Kentucky has somewhat been interested in Christian Lander. I don't know exactly where that recruitment stands, but will we see other blue bloods of college basketball get involved with Christian Lander? Will a Duke or a North Carolina eventually wind up involved with him at a fairly serious rate? We'll have to see, because he sure continues to grow as a prospect, his national ranking, and just his general standing as well. So we'll talk about some of that and more, all coming up with Mike Pegram in our final segment on this Tuesday show. And again, a reminder, Ben Landers, Silver Creek Jr., our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sardano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. We gave Ben the award because, A, he's a backup quarterback that's led Silver Creek to 2 victories. B, he had a really well-rounded performance as Silver Creek continues to roll this season with a great 5-0 start. And really, the opportunity should be there for this team to be 6-0 heading into a big Week 7 matchup with Brownstown, which could decide the Hoosier Hills Conference. But congratulations to him. You'll hear announcements running throughout the week. He is our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, thanks to Sardano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Also looking ahead at high school football this week, real quick, Bloomington North at New Albany. Bloomington North's had a really good season. This is another big challenge for New Albany. And speaking of big challenges, Jeffersonville at Indianapolis Cathedral this week for high school football. Also, Providence host Holy Cross from across the river in Louisville. That should be a good matchup. A game that we're going to be watching is Floyd Central at Columbus East. The Olympians are no question the favorite in that game. But Floyd Central has won 4 straight, playing some really good football. They've got some exciting athletes that maybe could score, maybe could do some good things against Columbus East. So that will be one to watch as well. Silver Creek, a favorite against Clarksville, although with Dylan Myers out, I mentioned Ben Landers, our Athlete of the Week. I understand he may have an injury as well, so we'll see who could be the third-string quarterback, or does Dylan Myers return this week for the Dragons as they take on Clarksville, a little rivalry game there. Clarksville, of course, still trying to build to that level, but Clarksville at Silver Creek on Friday. Charlestown will host Scottsburg, an opportunity for Marion Lukes and the Pirates to get another win. Rock Creek is on the road at Switzerland County as well. That's a look at week 6 of high school football. Of course, we have coverage every Friday night. We go around the area, play-by-play from multiple games, call-in reports from games we don't have opportunities to get play-by-play from. We have all constant scoreboards throughout the area, throughout the evening, I should say. So no matter who you're trying to follow, we keep you posted with everything going on across Southern Indiana high school football each Friday starting at 6 o'clock. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, IU football, followed by some IU basketball recruiting stuff, a little Hoosier hysteria conversation as well. That's all coming your way next in the final segment of this Tuesday show. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment here on this Tuesday program. Always Mike Pegram of Pegs.com with us. And, of course, today we'll talk IU basketball and some football as well. Mike, let's start on the football front. Obviously, Indiana gets the win over the weekend and now heads into a matchup against number 25-ranked Michigan State, and it's on the road. This is the next challenge. It's not Ohio State. It's not an opponent of that level, but it is a conference game. It is a very solid opponent. It is a road game for this team and another opportunity maybe for the fan base to measure this team and see realistically what could the second half of the season look like, what could bowl eligibility getting to 6 games look like. And I think that after this weekend, win or lose, we'll have a better idea of maybe how this Indiana team's going to be able to do against some of its forthcoming conference opponents as well.
Yeah, as good as Michigan State is, they're not Ohio State. They are a very good defense. That should be a bowl team and do pretty well in the Big Ten. But, you know, it wouldn't be a shocker for Indiana to win, but you just never see that happen with them beating teams that they're not supposed to beat. And getting that unexpected victory. And that's something that they might have to need, you know, to make a bowl game or at least make their life easier. And that a win Saturday would be gigantic for the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Our guest, what about Saturday as far as the victory stood out to you? I know UConn obviously wasn't a Big Ten caliber team, definitely not an Ohio State or a Michigan State caliber team like Indiana has played or is getting ready to play. But clearly some things went better, even though Michael Penix still not back. And I'm going to ask you about him in just a minute. But what stood out to you as things that maybe were better, were improved? And, of course, you got to keep in mind when we're talking about this or listening to this that it wasn't the same level of competition, to say the very least.
Well, that's, you know, defensively they looked a little bit better. Didn't allow a touchdown and didn't have the tackling issues that were shown in two of the previous games. And had a little more success running the football. Again, the competition is, you know, you have to water it down with that. But very good progress. They had Stevie Scott run for nearly 100 yards and some other guys move the ball a little bit on the rush. So that's a positive. They did lose, of course, their starting left tackle. That's a big deal.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. My guest, Mike, is always with us on Tuesday for complete coverage of IU football, basketball, recruiting. You can visit Mike and the team at Pegs.com. Of course, Mike, Jeff Rabjohns, Matt Weaver, all regular guests on this radio program. Looking ahead to Michigan State, will it be Michigan State that Indiana takes on with Michael Penix as the quarterback? He seemed to be fairly close to maybe returning last week. He was essentially a game-time decision. I don't think there's been anything discussed so far from Coach Allen this week as far as who the quarterback for the weekend will be, but your thoughts on that situation?
Well, as all along we've said, you know, Michael Penix makes Indiana more dangerous for really good teams because he can throw the long ball really well, can put much more zip on the ball than Peyton Ramsey. Not as experienced. Maybe the short passing game could work better under Peyton Ramsey, But, you know, to beat the better teams in the Big Ten, Indiana needs explosion plays and plays of 15 yards or more. And Michael Penix gives you a much better opportunity, I think, for that. So getting him helps the cause, in my opinion, anytime Indiana is an underdog in a game. But, you know, you just don't know if he's able to throw the ball without pain and be himself. And it's going to be tempting because Indiana has a bye week after the Michigan State game to hold him out and just make sure he's fine for the next time Indiana plays because he'll have that extra 2 weeks.
Yep, gotcha. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. One other thing going back to the game against Connecticut. I know we're skipping around a bit, but obviously a big injury to the offensive line with Coy Crunk out. Not a good-looking situation as far as his ankle is concerned. And that's obviously a big loss on the line for this Indiana team, especially going into the Big Ten, the heart of the Big Ten part of their schedule, and a road game at Michigan State. How big of a loss is that? And can the Hoosiers on the offensive line recover from a loss and the experience that he brings?
It's a pretty big loss because the offensive line wasn't a real strength of this team to begin with. So to lose the most experienced offensive lineman, yeah, that's a pretty big deal. I don't know if Coy is, you know, as talented as maybe Wes Martin was last year, and Wes is doing really well at the Redskins right now, and some of the other guys that are playing in the NFL, but he was a four-year starter right there, and you can't, you know, discount the experience that he brings and kind of the leadership. But so that'll be interesting. And they have a raw talent, young freshman in Matthew Bedford, I think, but he has struggled a little bit learning the reads and what he has to do in each play. And then they have fifth-year senior Devondre Love that played and came in right away, and then they moved Caleb Jones to Coy Crunk's spot. But I think there is a drop-off there in terms of talent. So if you go with a more experienced guy, he might not be as talented, or the true freshman with the talent that really doesn't know where to be and so forth. Maybe he just live with that for a few games until he gets a handle on things. That'll be interesting.
Talking to Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. Mike, let's turn to some basketball recruiting stuff for a couple moments. A few different names to get to. First off, yesterday, Andre Curbelo from New York, he cut his list to five. Indiana in that final five, and he's a class of 2020 point guard. We know that's a need that Indiana has been looking at both in the 2020 and 2021 classes. He's an interesting player that Indiana seems to have visited with or talked with, and his name has come up as much or more than any other 2020 name out there that I'm aware of. Tell us more about him. Everybody wants to know what he's like as a player. He's kind of one of those guys that we focus in on fairly late in the recruitment here now that the fall and high school season is just around the corner. And also now that his final five of Indiana, Miami, Illinois, Oregon, and St. John were his final five, he announced yesterday on Twitter. How does Indiana stand in that mix of schools? Those are two Curbelo questions for you.
Yeah, I think they're in a little bit of a catch-up mode with this kid, but they have obviously made enough of progress to make a final five, and that puts him in position to receive a visit, given the only given school has or a player has five official visits he can take in a season. But, you know, he's a pure point guard, doesn't shoot the ball particularly well, but really plays hard, almost fist gear kind of point guard, really gets up in the face defensively and moves the ball really well. I think in one of the Adidas events, he was a leading assist guy, and he played on a pretty exciting up and down AU team, I think New York Jayhawks. And he goes to the same high school as Devontae Green, so that might have a small help there for the Hoosier cause in landing him. But they are jumping in a little bit late. I think he's somebody that they've messed around with before they kind of went more all in with him and pursuing him, but I would say they're a little bit behind maybe Miami and a couple others, but making progress, and a visit could push them to the top.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. IU basketball recruiting, our topic here now, and obviously Indiana using football games and this time of year for visits. Not a big weekend, unless you can tell me otherwise, some names I didn't see that were in Bloomington over the weekend, but one name that was is an interesting prospect in the 2021 class. His name is Bryce Hopkins. He's from Oak Park, Illinois. It was an unofficial visit this weekend. Got a chance to see the tour. I'm sure he stopped by or got a chance to see the campus, I should say, during a tour, and I'm sure he got a chance to see the football game as well. He's a top 100 kid, number 77 in the most recent 247 sports rankings. Definitely somebody, it appears, still very early on in his recruiting. Got a number of different schools that are after him, a number of different schools that have offered him a scholarship. So it seems to me like it's just a case where it's great to get someone that's nearby on campus. So maybe Indiana was just in the mix once they see the program, what it's all about, the fans, the community, the campus. It might rise to the top of his list. So it seems like a good opportunity. With not a commitment looming either which way, but it seems like a good opportunity to get Bryce Hopkins on campus.
Yeah, a talented player, get him on Indiana campus, which is, you know, a huge recruiting tool for IU, given, you know, how well people think of this place here. I don't know that this is one that, you know, where a kid will supersede what's already in the state, but he's talented, he's close. I think he has some involvement with the MOCAM program that's produced, Juwan Morgan and others. So he's going to have some people that are, going to speak favorable of Indiana. So I just think he's, just a good thing to have him down, a talented guy. You don't get to be top 80 or whatever he is without being an outstanding prospect.
Yeah, no question about it. Mike, one other prospect we talk a lot about, Christian Lander down at Evansville Wrights. I know that UCLA was in to see him, I think, was it late last week, possibly, other schools as well, which just kind of reminds you that not only is he wanted by Indiana and other in-states Division I programs, but Louisville and others in the Midwest and even a national-type recruiting, and it would not surprise me, I know we've talked some about this as well, if other schools, even some of the Blue Bloods, I know Kentucky has flirted with Lander, but if others got involved in that race for him as well. He clearly is becoming a national-level prospect. He's had a long list of visitors in the pocket city of Evansville to see him so far in this fall evaluation period, and he definitely is somebody that continues to grow on IU's radar as well. This recruiting between now, coming out of the summer, and whenever this thing comes to an end, and he decides to make a decision, this recruiting could have a lot of interesting twists and turns and could come really down to the wire, is the opinion that I have as an outsider just following it all and reading all the reports out there.
Yeah, so I do think Indiana has done a terrific job with him, and I would say if I had to guess today, they would be there at the end, but it's a long way to go. And like you said, the big elite programs are going to dabble with this one, because he is, he might not be a top 10 player, but he's up a top 15 to 20 prospect, because he has an amazing burst with the basketball. That ability to separate yourself, that's, rare, something Yogi Ferrell has. It's really not something that anybody on the current Indiana team has with the ball. He also started to shoot the ball a little bit better this past offseason, which has always been the one question mark with Christian Lander. So he shows that, continued progress with that. You will have the Kentuckys and Carolinas and Kansas. I guess Kansas has already been involved. Of course, they're having their own trouble. But he's good enough for anybody to recruit, at the bottom line. And so are a couple other players from that class. And that's why we always say that this class, I think, really could determine the future of the program.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. With us Tuesdays, we talk IU basketball, IU football, and more. Mike, Hoosier Hysteria is here, just a few weeks away, and it won't be long until I know you guys will probably lead the charge to confirm and find out exactly, and it probably won't even be a complete list because there will likely be a lot, but who all recruiting-wise will be on campus that weekend. I assume as we talk about Hoosier Hysteria really being a recruiting-first event these days, you do expect a big turnout, not only some upperclassmen, but even some of the younger guys that we're not yet talking or writing a whole bunch about. Do you still expect it could be just a long list of attendees for this event like it's been in recent years?
Yeah, I don't expect there to be a lot of headliners outside of Christian Lander. I think Jaden Brewer, a very good prospect from Avon, is probably going to be there.
and a lot of young players. But, you know, I don't expect anybody. I think it actually might end up working for Indiana to have Christian Lander in as kind of a primary focus for that weekend, even though he's just a junior, along with a lot of good young players. There's been some discussion about Dawson Garcia coming in, but it's looking more unlikely that he will make his visit that particular weekend. You know, that's really only 11, 12 days away now. So he hasn't even said any visits. So it just looked like that one's going to push on past that date. But I do think it's going to be a young prospect weekend with a focus primarily on Christian Lander.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat. I think you got a football press conference to get to, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, Matt. Talk to you then. Take care.
That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Another shout-out to Silver Creek Junior Ben Lander, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg, the winner of that award this week. I'll be back with you Wednesday. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk some recruiting and a lot more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.